How to gauge if pandemic relief is working. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. All the money and other resources the federal government brought to bear to keep people afloat during pandemic was, in essence, a vast anti-poverty program. We'll get a sense later today of how well the pandemic relief worked when the U.S. Census releases 2020 data on poverty. Other indicators show the programs kept hunger at bay in many households, and Democrats are pushing to extend some of those programs, which do have costs. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
The government provided billions of dollars in pandemic aid, emergency unemployment benefits, stimulus checks, and increased supplemental nutrition assistance benefits, or food stamps. Without all that, Kara Balderi from First Focus on Children says
things would have been much worse.
Balderi points to the advanced child tax credit deposits, up to $300 a month per kid.
They put cash directly in the hands of families.
Cash that's been going toward things like groceries or rent. Democrats want to continue the child tax benefit. The Treasury Department says it would cost taxpayers about $110 billion a year. Erica York is with the Tax Foundation.
It becomes just very expensive to make it permanent.
She says that may be why lawmakers are only proposing to extend it through 2025. According to a Columbia University Social Policy Center, child poverty dropped by more than 40% after the first child tax deposit in July. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
Is inflation just a phase, as in we'll grow out of it, or is it a chronic condition that needs some kind of intervention? This morning, there's news that while, yes, the prices we consumers pay have been rising dramatically over the last year, the consumer price index rose only 0.3% in August, less than the month before and by less than expected. Let's consult Jeffrey Cleveland. He's the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
I think we've had a relentless rise in prices, consumer prices this year, and we took a bit of a break in August, both on the headline and core measures coming in softer than expected. So if you're in the acute camp, I think you would point to this month's reading as evidence. We definitely saw a drop in prices of things that were rising pretty steadily. So airfares and hotel stays and used car prices. But it could be temporary. We still have a lot of shortages and bottlenecks in the economy. There could be the Delta variant weighing on growth and activity. We saw that perhaps with airfares dropping during the month of August. So it could be just a lull and prices will begin to rise again.
But our central bankers who set interest rates will be watching this, right?
Yes, they will be watching closely. They have a meeting coming up next week. With inflation coming in a little softer than previously expected, I think this takes the pressure off the Fed to do something now to rein in price pressures. They can have more of a conversation about how to cut back monetary policy accommodation this fall, and they just don't have to have the urgency to act immediately. And I think financial markets are reacting to that added space or more room this morning.
Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at the investment firm Payden & Riegel out of Los Angeles. Thank you so much.
Have a great week, David.
Now, if I may be a nudge, maybe don't ignore that software update message on your iPhone. Apple has released a patch to close an opening for malefactors and spies. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here with some details. Nancy, how is this vulnerability discovered?
It was reported by the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab. The lab says it found the spyware on a Saudi activist's iPhone. And victims can be hit with this hack even if they don't click on a link or download a file.
All right, so a vulnerability, where did the spyware come from?
The Citizen Lab is pointing a finger at the Israeli spyware firm NSO Group. Citizen Lab says NSO allows its spyware to be used against civilians. NSO says it only sells spyware to law enforcement agencies. I did reach out to NSO for comment, and they sent me back a statement saying they'll keep helping authorities fight terror and crime.
All right, and what does Apple have to say?
Apple released a patch, which I downloaded this morning, by the way. It took about a half hour to sort it all out. In a blog post, Apple said it was issuing the patch because of a, quote, maliciously crafted PDF file that could lead to hacks.
And I hear today just happens to be Apple's big product launch day. California streaming, they're calling it. I get it. What's going on?
Yeah, it just happens to be today. Apple is expected to unveil the iPhone 13. There's some speculation the new iPhone will have a chip that would allow it to connect to satellites in emergencies where there's no cell service.
Like out in the desert. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
Thanks.
Today, California voters are deciding whether to recall the governor there, Gavin Newsom, under that state's unusual system, where a successor could be voted into power with much lower public support than Newsom gets at the polls. Now, regardless of that outcome, Newsom has more work to do, including the decision to sign or veto a slate of bills passed in the legislature. This includes one that limits the ability of Amazon and other companies to use algorithms to push workers to higher levels of productivity. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
When Yesenia Barrera worked at an Amazon warehouse east of Los Angeles a couple years ago, she felt like her every move was tracked.
Not only are you being, you know, told you have to meet 200 items, right? You also have to keep track of what they call time off task or unproductive time.
Too much time off task and workers can be disciplined or potentially fired, as Barrera says she was. She's now an organizer with the Warehouse Workers Resource Center.
It doesn't matter if you're taking time prepping an item. It doesn't matter if you're using the restroom. It doesn't matter if you're getting water.
The California bill would require warehouses to be more transparent about productivity quotas, often set by complex software, and dial back the quotas if regulators find they interfere with state-mandated breaks or health and safety practices.
It's one of the most dangerous industries. The accident and injury rate is very high.
Ellen Wydus is a former head of Cal/OSHA. She says the pressure to speed up work in these already risky workplaces causes serious problems. An analysis of federal OSHA data by a coalition of labor groups found Amazon warehouses had about double the rate of serious injuries as the industry average.
Falls, musculoskeletal injuries, heat, illness problems.
Amazon did not respond to a request for comment and has not taken a position on the bill. It has said less than 1% of firings are related to productivity problems. But concerns about the dehumanizing effect of algorithms at work go beyond Amazon, says Lindsay Cameron, a professor at the Wharton School.
Management by algorithms is a much more tighter, more stricter form of management.
And if one of the most profitable companies on the planet is using it now, she says, it's likely a lot more workplaces will follow. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.